Stella, it was said of him when they got him that he had Jordy Mack kind of talent. We've yet to see it. In fact, Mostella today played in today's game. How many minutes did he play, Keith? Help me out here.
I think three.
I think he played 3 minutes, yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, I don't even remember him being on the floor.
I would agree with that.
Hey, guys, when Mostella first got to town, I went out there and watched him in that Rocky Top League.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was a can't-miss superstar.
Yep.
That just shows to go you can't believe anything you see in that Rocky Top League.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, people pick on the Rocky Top League and they say, oh, well, this is deleterious to the development. Let me tell you something. The Rocky Top League gives kids a chance to stay in shape. It gives fans a chance to be up close and personal with those kids. It gives young kids a chance to get near some of their basketball heroes, creating a lifetime of memories. It's kind of a summertime celebration of basketball in our community. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not college basketball. It's just guys playing basketball in the summer on pickup teams. That's all it is. And they have uniforms on. That's all it is.
And he used to, that night I saw him, guys, he was standing out there shooting Mike Edwards distance 3-point shots, and he wasn't hitting nothing but net. It was one of the most amazing exhibitions I've seen.
Keith, could they get his attention? Is there a way to get a guy like that's attention, or has that dog hunted already in your mind?
No, I mean, if only playing 3 minutes doesn't get his attention, nothing will. I mean, I think that's how you have to do it.
Yeah, now a guy like that either goes one way or he goes another. He either pouts and takes his ball and go home, or he says, I've got pride, and I'm going to fight to get back in this lineup.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be in his hands. He's got enough physical talent that there's no reason he shouldn't be getting minutes on this team.
There's no doubt about that. He's one of the more disappointing guys for the reasons that Jake is enumerating here. He's one of the more disappointing guys we've seen here in a while. He really is. For what I thought Jake he would be, and again, I'm not fooled and wowed by the stuff we see in the Rocky Top League. I'm not. But I just thought from all the people I talked to, the scouts, the recruiting people I talked to, who talked about how what a special athlete and player that he is. You know, to me, he doesn't look all that, I mean, I hate to put it this way, he doesn't look all that tremendously athletic when he plays. Am I wrong about that?
He looks like a completely different guy.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Just a completely different human being.
He looks like a tomato can compared to the way he looked in that summer league.
He looks like you picked him off a sixth grade team.
Seriously. Is it a confidence thing, Keith? Do you think with a guy like that at that level, when you force them to quote unquote play the game versus be a freewheeler, be a dunker, an artist, and all that stuff? Because if you want to play and one, man, that's your guy right there. He's got tremendous hops. He's like Jeeks. I mean, Jeeks, could you imagine him playing that and one brand of basketball where it's just wide open in the summer and the things that they do and that stuff? He would be great at that, but to ask him to function, Keith, within a team where he's got to play defense, where he's asked to help, where he's asked to do a lot of the little things, like Rick Barnes was saying, away from the ball, it just doesn't happen for him.
Well, I think it's what I think you're talking about, him not appearing terribly athletic when he plays. I think that's a function of him thinking too much and not being. I don't think he has great instincts for the game. I think it's one of the main problems he has is I don't think he's got great instincts, and that slows you down. If you're having to think about everything you do, you're not going to be fluid playing. You're going to be kind of mechanical and robotic, and I think that's a big portion of his problem.
Yeah.
Hey, Keith, I think you hit the nail on the head, because when he was in that Rocky Top League, he wasn't thinking at all. And he looked like the most athletic guy you've ever seen on the court to be as small as he is. And I think you hit the nail on the head. He's trying to think too much. And if they could get him to a happy medium, maybe he could be successful. But I'll tell you what, it looks like he's running out of time. Hey, guys, my buddy Feltner, and he'll hate me saying this because he thinks he's Fulkerson's handler. But He's an Indiana guy. Grew up there and played at Carson Newman. And his dad's in ailing health. Probably won't be around much longer. So he went up there this weekend and was telling me what a great experience Hinkle Field House was. He had a chance to go to the shoot-around last night and meet and guys, how great was it that Dickie Simpkins, one of the first great players
pretty cool.
that Barnes coach got to do the game today.
Pretty cool. And Dickie looked good. Yeah. We're going to get Dickie on the show this week and have him talk about that. He looked pretty good. You know, we've had him on a time or two. And he is, I'll tell you what, he did a real nice job calling that game today, and he was able to get some airtime opposite Tim Brando, who likes to do both play-by-play and color at the same time.
Count Chocula.
All right, guys.
Thank
great
you.
Show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Brando's got that 60-plus look, Keith, that I'm looking forward to getting one day where your hair just turns like auburn. There are several broadcasters that have the, and coaches. Nick Saban has the auburn hair now. It's like a 60-plus thing. Les Miles has the auburn hair now.
See, I'm big on guys like my guy Brenneman, who just ages.
Oh, beautiful. Exactly.
He just doesn't mess around with trying to look like an idiot. And
no, age. That's where I'm at. Age, man. Hey, let me tell you something about aging. Aging's a badge, man. Aging means I've lived.
And it beats the alternative.
865-200-5402. Dalton Berrien.
It only took 45 seconds into the Cincinnati game for somebody to elbow somebody in the face.
Dalton Berrien Hydraulic, ladies and gentlemen, the business providing exceptional service, unbeatable prices to all their customers, to the thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to this right now, wherever you may be or on the World Wide Web. They can do business with you no matter where you are. If you are in the market and you're hunting a cylinder, thousands and thousands of cylinders sold each year. To huge, huge industry at Dalton Berrien Hydraulics, but they don't overlook the little guy. Take any customer. They'll even do business with me. Bottom line is, you're going to get hometown service. You're going to get a relationship that's going to last you a lifetime. Like Lighthouse once said, you finally found the love of a lifetime. Dalton Berrien Hydraulics, proud to be one of only a handful of Prince Hydraulics master distributors in the nation. Last year they sold close to 500,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and hydraulic power units. They also sell hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, motors, you name it. Thousands and thousands of bearings. Online at DaltonHydraulic.com. Again, online at DaltonHydraulic.com. This is your smart way. Dalton Berrien Hydraulic and Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. My name is Tony Basilio. He is Keith Hatfield. Keith, we were talking about Clancy's before. Your appearance today is also presented by?
Our friends down at the Crown and Goose, Knoxville's most interesting and eclectic menu down in the old city.
And I would imagine they're pretty excited about the way the things over in Europe in the world of footy are starting to heat up as well.
Oh, yes. The owner, Mr. Nash, a huge Tottenham fan. The Spurs playing pretty good football right now.
That would be Hotspur to you, big boy.
True. Oh, you mentioned Arne Anderson earlier, Tony.
Yes.
I was digging through trying to explain the Midnight Express Tony and Arne feud to somebody last night, and a couple of nights ago, and heard arguably Arn's best rip ever on somebody. It was when he dumped on Stan Lane and said, Stan Lane, you've been chasing women so long, you've become one.
He was one of the great orators in our time. I mean, you've got guys like Reagan, Winston Churchill, current president.
Arn Anderson was the John F. Kennedy of professional wrestling.
Yeah, he's a master orator. For there ever was one. If you want to get in with us, by the way, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. And there's nobody on hold. So if you want to get in, you can jump in now at 865-200-5402. Keith, as we've been going about 90 minutes here, Keith, on the rest of your college basketball menu tonight, you have any recommendations? We'd like to do this, or in the next couple days, between now and the next time we talk.
Well, I think Gonzaga, UCLA will be interesting tonight. For some reason, I get a sneaky suspicion Oregon State will give Kansas a much better game than people expect. I think that's probably the two. That's probably the two that stand out for me the rest of the evening.
And by the way, Oregon State, home of Craig Robinson, used to have that job. Yes.
Yes.
Michelle Obama's brother.
Correct.
That's pretty tough when you fire a brother of the first lady. That guy's got to be pretty crummy at what he does. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with A, that it's very tough to do that, and B, that yes, he was crummy.
Tennessee loses today. The next game for our volunteers will be Wednesday, December 16th. Florida Atlantic comes to Thompson Bowling. It's a 7 o'clock tip time. We'll be on the air here live roughly 7 o'clock Eastern as the Vols fall today.
Former Vols signee C.J. Terman.
94-86. C.J. Terman in the house for Florida Atlantic. And C.J. Terman, Keith, hails from?
He was from Georgia, as I remember.
Akonzo Martin. Akonzanista.
Yes. Yes, he was part of the Kofor Cornish Larry Austin class that all bolted because the head coach told them that we were all racist.
Head coach really did a service to our program. Keith, wonderful job by you. It was a lot of fun, man. Many happy returns. Give me a final thought here on the way out as the Vols lose today on the road at Butler, fighting gallantly.
Well, I think, as I said, I think today's a performance. If they can replicate today's performance and find just a little more defensive rebounding, that's a performance that's going to get them a lot of wins going forward. If they can maintain that level of play, this season won't be the lost cause that I think a lot of us were beginning to worry it was going to be after the Nebraska game.
This is Tony Basilio for the great Keith Hatfield. Thanks, Hat.
No problem. As always, always a pleasure, Tony.
You can catch us on Tuesday night on Fox 43, 6:30, with Donnie Tindall, as we will be in the paint this week. We'll have this game to break down. We'll have a lot to talk about this week. In fact, that game will be a lead-up into Florida Atlantic. Tennessee did a lot of good things today. Did everything but get the win. But they didn't get the win, and that hurts. I've got something special for you now. If you're training a youngster, if you're really going for the gold, I want to encourage you to do that, but I want to also encourage you to be honest. This is called The Sports Gene, one of our many, 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 many book corner offerings. I'm going to be adding two new book corners here momentarily. But I do want to thank here at TonyBasilio.com everybody that makes it possible. I want to thank Randy Dalton with Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics for helping us get this thing off the ground. Thank you, Randy. I want to thank, you better bow your head, the great Vince Keller. Yoshi Ho Ho, thank you, Vince. I want to thank all those who champion this program and this app and tell their friends and tweet it out and stay loyal. Thank you so much. We look forward to bringing this to you throughout the basketball season and then during recruiting. And then as news breaks out, we're going to break in. Perhaps we'll be down here on the day when Willie Moe gets hired by somebody, hopefully, in football. Or crouching dragon hidden receiver coach gets hired by somebody. Tony, don't break the vibe. It's feeling good. You're right. For everybody behind the scenes, Marcos Garza, welcome aboard. I love each and every one of you. I hope you have yourself a great day. Thank you, Keith Hatfield. Thank you, Mr. Abbotts. Mr. Abbotts, we thank you. Till we meet again, one other final thing I do want to say today on the way out, and that's that whether it's in victory or in loss, I will tell you this right now. You better go ahead, say it, know it, and write it on down, sports fans. When I speak of this Navy game later, we will be celebrating the Navy game later, and I'll be doing it, toasting them with a Moosehead, Canada's oldest independent brewery, as they are back in basketball season with us. Moosehead Lager, pure tradition. 145 years they've been at it. And in that time, Tennessee has been to, let's see how good you are. How many Final Fours? Have you given up? This is not the sports glitch at six. How many? How many Final Fours? How many Final Fours? For a case of Moosehead. For a case of Tasty Cake. Moosehead Brewery's flagship brand, Golden Lager. Light in body. Highly refreshing. You're going to get a fine balance between malt sweetness and hop bitterness. Nobody wants a case of Moosehead? Nobody wants the case of Tasty Cake? When you score for a case of Tasty Cake? So call. Answer the call, ladies and gentlemen, and grab a Moosehead. I will answer the call once Army is victorious. And I want to thank you for being there with us tonight, for everyone behind the scenes, for the great Keith Hatfield, for Bino in absentia, for Orange Throat, who is keeps just belittling me in texts for some reason. I don't quite understand it, but I guess I give him something to do. I don't know. We love you. God bless. Officiating, get better. If the officiating will rise to the level of our volunteers, we'll be there. I do want to say I hope your team wins tomorrow in the NFL, and I hope the Buffalo Bills beat my Eagles, because I am sick of Chip Kelly. He's a fraud. We love you. God bless. Since we're on a basketball tip, if I can get one more Philly thing off my chest here. Scam Stinky, it was nice knowing you. You are a fraud. You and your merry band of pointy-headed geeks. Goodbye, Scam Stinky, and good basketball. We love you. God bless. Boy, I'm really, really excited to bring this to you now. This book will change your life, literally. If you have a young person that plays sports in your life, and you give the sports gene a try, David Epstein, ladies and gentlemen, who has hit it out of the park with this, it's now out in paperback, New York Times bestseller, and now joins us on the program. And David, first of all, congratulations on the sports gene. It's so thought-provoking.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. It's kind of, I guess, the dirty secret of the book is it's like 12 or 15 of my own deepest questions about athleticism. I've been pleased to find out I wasn't the only person wondering.
As an overview of this book, because people will read the title, I know the book took off. It came out late summer, early fall of 2013, and it took off. People see the title, though, David, and they probably think, well, this is a real scientific look. And is there such a thing as a sports gene? And let's just start there. Is there such a thing as a sports gene?
Well, there are sports genes. There's not a sort of a single gene that makes someone just a good athlete all around. I mean, I was using that sort of in a metaphorical sense, like we talk about, you know, the music gene, someone having sort of traits that gives them high potential. And we've now identified sports genes, plural, and particularly in some cases, those that make people, one athlete, better able to adapt to a certain training regimen so that they progress in their skill development much more quickly than others do. And it's kind of a new concept that's emerged out of exercise genetics, this idea of trainability, maybe the most important form of talent of all. And it kind of renders obsolete some of our previous notions of talent that were this idea of something that just exists before you've had a chance to.
One of the aspects of this book that I love, you do what I do, you kind of try to distill it down, as you know, and you've been on my side of the aisle in terms of conducting interviews. But when I'm talking to someone like you that's amassed something this fascinating, you literally don't know where to start. I mean, there's just so much here. I know it started as an article for Sports Illustrated. Is this one of these things when you dug in that it just sort of wrote itself? Because that's what it seems like here. There's just so much here.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I mean, in a way, the ideas sort of flowed from one another pretty easily in some ways, because it really came out of my own questions, the things that I had either experienced as an athlete or seen. For example, I get into kind of Jamaican sprinters, and that's because I grew up in an area with a large Jamaican immigrant population. And we had these amazing sprinters, and when I realized there were 2.5 million people on that island, I wondered what the heck's going on there that they're producing all these great sprinters. And I became a longer distance runner in college, and now I'm running against Kenyan guys, and I'm starting to meet them and learn that they're all from the same one tiny town in the rural Western Rift Valley. And again, I'm like, what's going on in this place? Same time I'm training and getting more different, not more the same, from my own training group. you know, that and seeing things on TV like the ability of softball pitchers to strike out Major League Baseball hitters. And so I just sort of compiled all these questions in my head that stuck there. That first article for Sports Illustrated was basically me pitching to my editors a story on sort of the nature and nurture of sports performance so that I could go off and just investigate some of these questions that I had started compiling in my head for a long time. So sadly, it didn't write itself, but the questions certainly were these things that sort of flowed very naturally from my own experiences and interests.
And I think anybody that's interested in sports always will look at athletes and go, are they born or are they made? And unless I'm wrong, your book sort of makes the point that it's a combination, but where the combination lies is really the question, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the nature or nurture, of course, is an easy way to frame it, but for scientists, that's really not good enough, right? They need to know, well, in each specific case, in this sport or in this athlete, how are nature and nurture at play? There's no exact blanket answer for every skill or for every individual. The takeaway that I had after doing all the research for the book was that, well, it turns out that some of these qualities of elite athletes that I would have thought were innate or genetic, like the reflexes it takes to hit a major league fastball, turn out actually to be completely learned. And some of the other things that I would have thought would be like totally voluntary, just acts of will, like the compulsive drive to train, turn out to have these really important genetic components. So it turns out to be kind of nature and nurture often at work in counterintuitive ways.
David Epstein joining The Sports Gene. You've got to check this out. It's now out in paperback from Current, and trust me, you will not be able to put this thing down. Let's start here when we start looking at what's in your book, because it's just got so much. But I want to start at the afterword, because the afterword's an interesting place to begin after reading the book, in that you talk about the reaction that your book got, particularly you're taking on something we've seen in pop culture for years, the 10,000 hour rule.
Yeah.